Sometimes it is sometimes a torture because the narrator always offers us the one, yes, limited version of life, finite version of life. And it's not true. It is just not true. So enlarge the scope of listening to music, any kind of music that comes to you that you feel like that, you know, and then this ease the constant beating of the personal narrator, the personal narrator, yes. So whenever, if it's possible for you to read or to listen to music or to reading of poetry, whatever comes to you, what you find comfortable, in which, let's say, waters you feel comfortable, just to listen, because when once there's a listening, there is an openness to the infinite, yes? To listen, yes, to the sounds outside of the narrator. Yes, to listen. And this is great, it's a great fortune, it's a great present to be able to listen. Because once we're listening to, let's say, I was listening this night to songs and storytelling. In this case, it was in Hebrew, but once you listen to it, so, wow, you know, there's an openness and there's, it is not just that it is neutralizing the narrator. This is one thing. It's cutting his tree, so to speak. It just opens you infinite worlds inside. So it's great to be able to listen to. By the way, speaking about listening, what do you find? And this is an open question. Is it good with you to have also additional meeting on Wednesday? Does it help you? Do you need to meet here on Wednesday? How it is from your side, Jill and Yanis? I would like to ask that.
It does help me to have the extra day. I find that I do try to keep myself really busy throughout the day. I'm usually doing something. But even if it's just a small little piece of, you know, time, then mm-hmm. I'm glad that you said that the narrator, you know, wants the attention. And that kind of gives me like another thing to think about, because I try to keep myself busy. But definitely the added day helps a lot.
Thank you, Yanis and Gio. Is there any question that you would like to ask? Please feel free to ask whatever. Is it from the book that you have read lately or from the Bible? I saw that Yanis was posting a few questions before this session started. Yes, I did not manage to read all of them because I noticed this only a few seconds before the start. The story or the Bible is not a personal story. It's not about, let's say, a history of a family. But through the events, through the names of the participants, through the numbers, the way which is marked by numbers, names of mountains, names of cities, name of people. In event, we have in a way a window to this divine matrix. In a way, divinity speaks to us through the events in time. Yes? Divinity or infinity speaks to us through the events of time, through what is happening. And Weinreb, in his book, opened this lens So the lens in which the book of Weinreb is written is not from the stage. Like usually people read the Bible, great drama. Yes, if you sit on stage and watch those stories, and people look at usually at a drama. Yes, like audience watching a drama, Hamlet or Shakespeare, any kind. No, Weinreb looks or reads the Bible not from the stage perspective, not from the audience that comes in the evening to entertain, to be entertained, or to relieve from the hot day or from the cold day, just to watch something else. Weinreb looks at the Bible not from the stage, not from the audience, but from the backstage, behind the curtain, before even the actors are appearing on stage. This is the perspective. In a way, it's the skeleton. This is the first draft. Weinreb is taking a pencil and sketches the Bible, like, in a way, engineering project. Yes? Not the house, how it is built already, with windows, with curtains, with a roof, tiles, garden, and so on. But it takes you very, very, very far back. In a way, before time, before the bet. This is, in a way, Weinreb perspective is not from the bet, meaning there's an audience and there's a play, which is two, subject-object. Weinreb perspective is coming, in a way, before the bet. This is why it is so a rare book. And perspective is before the bet, before the two. And from the before two, he just introduces us this perspective, which is the infinite perspective of life. Because the daily living says, oh, yes, there's a person, he goes to work, he has children, he has to pay mortgage or rent, everything is personal, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, it happens only to me, and so on. It doesn't matter where this person lives, in which continent. Good afternoon, Abigail. Happy to see you here. So it doesn't matter. Yes, it is, people always feel it's about them. It's about their personalities, yes? Good afternoon. Their names, their heritage, the story. No. Weinreb comes and tells the story before the letter bet. Before the matrix of this window. You know, there's a window that is divided by a cross. Yes? And then you have, instead of one window, there's like four little windows. Yes? Little. And there's like little four. This is 2x2. It's a window in which you can see, yes, through the kitchen or through any kind of the rooms at the house outside. This is the first 2x2 is 4. Weinreb comes and writes this book not from the perspective of this window 2x2 or from the 4 or from the moach, brain, yes, memchet is 40. And 8. Yes? 40 and 8. So Weinreb comes and tells the story before the brain starts. This is what is so unique about the book that he writes. Because the book comes and in a way opens to us a lens to the infinite. To see to see life from the infinite or from the crown perspective. This is why there's a beautiful saying in the Zohar, a beautiful maiden that does not have eyes. Yes? What is a beautiful maiden that doesn't have eyes? This is the perspective of infinity. Because eyes are plural. And once there's eyes, they're plural. There's always the relation of subject and object. Subject and object. When we have eyes, two eyes. So this Book of Zohar speaks about this beautiful riddle that the Zohar asks. What is a beautiful maiden that doesn't have eyes? Oh, it's beautiful, but she doesn't have eyes. So the beauty is, in a way, not to see subject, object. She doesn't have eyes, plural, that sees subject, object, the matrix of time. She doesn't have eyes. But she is beautiful because she does not look through the perspective of duality. This is why it is beautiful maiden that doesn't have eyes. She doesn't look at life through the lens of duality. Non-dual. This is why she is so beautiful. And this is what Weinreb offers us in his incredible book. It is so unique because what happens is usually people read different episodes of the Bible, different verses, and they look into this relation of, let's say, or they write articles and research about the relation between Judah and Joseph and Sarah and Abraham versus Abraham and Hagar. And so they take it all the time like in a court procedure. Yes? Let's look at the relation between Abraham and Sarah versus Abraham and Hagar. And so there's like a court drama. This again, Weinreb does not even count this. It just says, hey, let's take a step back. Where to back? Before the bed, before the duality, before the eyes. The eyes of flesh, so to speak, that can see only subject object. So let's go one step back. And from this perspective, yes, the book, The Roots of the Bible, is being written. And this is very, very hard for people to read, not because of an English as a language, because in terms of concepts, what does it mean to write a book from the concept of known to or before the two? This is why it is so hard for people to stomach, to read, and they just read one sentence and they fall asleep and it breaks their brain. Yes? It's like Course of Miracles. If you have tried to read the Course of Miracles, it just breaks the logic of the sentences that we grew upon. It just breaks your head. And then pluck and pluck and pluck. Yes, and suddenly the egg, the shell of the egg, yes, that the brain is weaving around ourselves as a personal story is slowly being melting or being canceled. This is what the Course of Miracles does. It doubts everything and it breaks all the assumptions that we grew upon. Also Weinreb, the way he reads the lores, the Midrashim, the legend about the Bible is from the perspective of non-duality. Therefore, he offers a larger scope, not personal, not, equivalent. They say in literature, excuse me, Jill, maybe you know the term they speak about. I don't know how to say equivalent literature when you take one essay and you read it parallel to another essay. How do you say this in English?
I have to think about that. You said you thought it was a literature? Or is this a specific type of
in university? Yes, in literature studies in university, they call it a parallel literature or equivalent literature. When you take, let's say, a genre of literature, you read this book parallel or against this book to see the differences between the author, though they're writing in the same field. I don't know how to say this in English. It doesn't come to me at the moment.
Definitely parallel is the only thing that's coming to me. I know what you're talking about, but I can't place it either.
Thank you. So what usually people do are reading, and they always read this parallel to this, and they define this plus, this is minus, and so Weinreb does not read those lores and legends and the sources in this way completely, not this against that. He just take it very, 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 very far back before this parallel reading to find pluses or minuses and explain it from the perspective of the infinite. And when people read the roots of the Bible, it just breaks their heads. And someone who speaks very good English and was listening to Weinreb in German for many years asked when he was reading Roots of the Bible, I read this paragraph, such and such is saying, does it make any sense? How can someone write such a thing? And I said, yes, yes, this is true. This is, and I opened this paragraph and says, yeah, it makes sense. So when Weinreb came, yes, Course of Miracle, it is speaks through the lens of Christian beliefs or so that it will be accepted, that it will be accepted, yes? So it is written under this umbrella that it will be accepted, yes? This is why when Weinreb was in Israel and he offered, it was in after 1967 war, it was like a while ago, he was here willing first time because he was born in Europe. He was willing to speak with people about this kind of lens and people refused to listen to it even. So it's about being ready to have this openness to consider this option. So some people, it's okay. This option does not exist. As long as someone sees his life as unique and particular and personal, there is not even a slight opening to consider another option. Once there's an openness, opening inside of us, we can consider another option, listening to another source. This is a great... When this is happening, when willing to listen to another option or a way of life or a way of just different perspectives, it is a great opening. And this is a present. Yes, yes. Because there is a beautiful Lord that says, where is the Dalet? Dalet is the fourth letter. And Dalet, in a different pronunciation, Delet is the door, or door. as the infinite always asks this question, where is the door? Yes. Where is this openness? Yes. Opening, openness, gate, door that the finite creature will have inside to listen to the option of the infinite. So where is the door? Where is the door? It's like when you have a space to open the door for a guest. So you're not just occupied with yourself 24/7. You also have a space to open a door to listen to another option outside of the personal narrator. And this is what Weinreb writes about Abram in the day that the messengers or the angels came. It was a very hot day. It was a high noon. And he was 3 days after being circumcised. And it's the hardest moment because it's 72 hours after the procedure. So it's quite painful. And though it was very painful, and what happens is when there's a pain, yes, the system, yes, is closed like a dog, yes, with his jaws. Once there's a pain, the system is closed to any input, yes, because what is left is the me and the pain, because what makes the pain so painful, the pain pins the pain on the me. Yes, there's a pain. If there's a pain to someone in Alaska, and we are sitting here, we don't feel it because it's not about me. But once there is a pain, and the pain is about me, so in a way, it is like binding the story. Do you understand? Do you understand the relation between a pain and me? Yes, someone might feel that his arm or not his, the arm is aching or the leg is aching. Yes, many people now, well, we are 8.2 billion people. Among us, people might report that they have at this moment an arm pain or leg pain. In terms of statistics, it's quite possible. But what makes it so important? If someone says, I have the pain, or my arm is aching. Once there is a linear connection between a separated entity and the pain, this is my story. And who will take the story of pain from me? Because this is what defines me. I have the pain. Of course it's a lie. Why? The arm is aching. The arm is aching. It's not my arm. Do you understand the difference, Yanis? Not to identify with the pain. You can say the arm is aching. What can we do to relieve the pain? But once you say in your brain, it's my arm, or I have a pain, then you have the bondage of self, and then starts not the pain. The pain is something tolerable, yes? Starts the suffering, because it's my pain. This is what defines me. Yes? Please pay attention. If the arm is aching, it's great. The leg is whatever is aching, it's great. But it's not personal, it's not mine, or it doesn't, do you understand the difference? When you say it's mine, or I have a pain, there's a pain coming through once you bond it, or the brain's bond it. This is what it does, because it's part of the body. The brain is part of the body. It's not part of the soul. It says, this is my pain, and then you have the bondage of self, and then you have suffering. So this was just a a forward to the day that Abraham was standing in the opening of the tent. It was 3 days after his circumcision, and we spoke about it. It's a very painful. And what happens usually to the body, any kind of body, when there's a pain happening, there's a closure of the system. Yes? Like, how do you say, if you have seen those movies, castles in the Middle Ages, yes, when there's attack on the system, yes, suddenly the gates are operated, and the gates are, how do you say, are downloading, how do you say, they falling from their openness and just shut the city to protect it. Have you seen this in the movies? Have you seen movies about the Middle Ages or... Yes, yes, this is to protect the city from attack. Yes, so it is a mechanism, a defense protection mechanism that shuts all the opening to save the people of the city from invaders, from attacks, from wars. Just shut down, yes? So in this moment, this is what happens to every... painful body. It doesn't matter if it's a cat, dog, or human. Once there's a pain, also the dog has a brain, also the cats, there's a shutdown of the system. And what does it mean, shut down? It closes the system and separates the system from the world. Yes? So there's a pain. The pain says, I have the pain. And there's a closure of the system. I feel the pain. And the world is there, continued. The world doesn't care about me. I have the pain. I sit in my corner and eat my nails from pain. I don't know. This is not what happened to Abraham. And the Bible says it was in the third day. And it was at the heat of the day, zenith. This is really hot. And with the pain. And it's a bleeding procedure. It's not pleasant. But he could close himself, yes, in the system of I have a pain and forget from anything, because now I have the pain. I'm the emperor of the pain. Who can speak to me? I'm just suffering. This is what happens to us, no? No. At this moment, he was standing in the opening of the gate or of the tent. Yes, he was standing to look what is happening in the world. So in spite of the pain, in spite of the procedure, it happens to us that sometimes in life we cross different junctions with pain or with conditions, yes? So he was standing at the opening of the tent to receive guests. In other words, he had a space, yes, to an input that comes outside of his system. Contrary to what happens when someone or there is a pain happening, there's a shutdown. Just concentrating in, the pain is like ticking out. I cannot just... So no, it was painful, or it is painful, but he still stands in the openness to receive a further input from the world. And then he sees three angels or messengers are coming, and each one brings a different input to the system called Abraham. What is the different input? One says, this is Michael, the next year your wife will have a son. Yes, this is the first input. The second input is that we're going to opposite Sodom. Yes, where Lot, his nephew, is sitting. Yes. And the third input, you're going to you're gonna get, or you will be healed from this procedure. Those are the three angels. Michael, he was speaking about the new birth of Isaac Nix the coming year. And it was Gabriel speaking about opposite Sodom. This was another input. I'm going to opposite Sodom tonight. This is Gabriel. And the third input was Raphael. Or Raphael, you're going to be healed from this procedure. So three different inputs from the world outside of the notion of Abraham in this moment. Yes? What does this story? Yes? What kind of a teaching it has or it holds for us? Whatever happens in pain, in a mourning moment, whatever scenario a person is going through, always leave a space to the input from the outside world. It will always enrich you because it's not finite. Whatever comes from the world, it's infinite. Me and my suffering and the bondage of self, this is finite. Because the body has expiring date. The body appears in certain point in time and just dismisses itself in another point of time. So it's finite. And the input from the body, from the system, from the brain, from the thought, it's finite. So you'd better hold your door, your window, your ear open to an input from this infinite life, which outside of the finite self. It's a great teaching. Any questions, Abigail, Yanis, Jill? There is a beautiful song that I heard this last few days about Hagar. This is a Hebrew song. It was written a while ago about Hagar that describes her loneliness in the desert with a baby because she was expelled, yes, to live in the desert with her son. Sarah asked Abraham to dismiss her after she saw that Ishmael was trying to shoot arrows in Isaac. So Abraham did not want that. But he listened to Sarah. Yes, God, in a way there was like this notion, listen to Sarah, your wife, and dismiss Hagar and her son. It is funny, I don't know if many people speak about this perspective. Ishmael was trying to shoot arrows and to kill Isaac. And Sarah saw this. It was when Isaac was three, about three, because they have a feast when the baby is like, it's not under the sovereignty of the mother. Three. So he goes to the world, so they have a feast or so. And Ishmael was trying to shoot arrows. And she asked him, what do you do? No, I'm just having fun. He said, no, it's not fun. You're trying to kill this boy or so. Later on, Abraham, in the binding of Isaac, will hear a certain narrator and will try to kill Isaac too. Not to kill just as amusement. It will have a cause, yes, in his story. Yes, the cause is written in the Bible for the love of God or whatever. But please look what is really happening. Ishmael is trying to kill Isaac. Also Abraham. So his half-brother tries to kill him, then his father tries to kill him. And Sarah knew this. Sarah knew this. And it's not so much about the Isaac as a person, but the laughter. So if we look not at Ishmael as a persona, but the fact that he was shooting arrows. Yes, arrows in English is arrows. In Hebrew is chetz. Chetz. Yes, chetz is an arrow. Chetz. Chetz is an arrow. And what does it mean in Hebrew? Chetz from chatzi. It just spread everything into two. It separates what does the arrow does in English, yes? In Hebrew, chetz, chetz from chatzi, chatzi is a half. It just splits reality. The arrow, chetz, splits reality into two, to two halves, and then we have duality. So if we don't look at through the lens of persona, this persona tries to kill this persona, what do we see? We see that the arrows of Ishmael, or any kind of arrow, or any kind of duality, what tries to split everything into two. Again, arrow, chetz, chatzi, the arrow, when you shoot an arrow at apple, it will split it into two. Yes? So the dualistic or the lens of duality will always tries to shoot arrows and to split even the laughter, the moment of joy. But as Sarah in a way puts it and says, no, you cannot kill laughter. You cannot kill the laugh. You cannot kill the joy because it doesn't come from here. It doesn't come from duality. Also later, Abraham, with his name, which is 248. This is, how do you say in English? Now let's speak mathematics, geometric progression, they call it. Two in the power of two, two in the power of three. This is how it is, yes? So the name of Abraham in numbers is 248. This is 2, 4, 8. This is a geometrical progression. This is how mathematics works, or they say that there are 248 organs. What is organs? It's like splits of reality. So Abraham is split as reality, tries to kill the laughter or the laugh of the joy, and it is impossible to kill Isaac. So it doesn't matter if we see the trial from Ishmael, yes, to kill the laughter, to split it, to say it does not exist, or it's impossible for laughter to exist in space and time. And later Abraham, with his own narration in this chapter, yes, it doesn't matter. It is impossible to kill, to abort, to cancel, to split the laughter, the joy, the joke. It is impossible because the laughter and the happiness and the joy and the song, they are not a fruit of the matter. They're outside, yes? They're outside. This is why Sarah's name was changed in the beginning. At the beginning, her name was Sarai with Yod, Shin Resh Yod, which is the same letters as Shir. Yes, Shir is a song. The song is being sang in time, but it's not from time. Yes? You cannot kill a song. People who sing the song might pass away, but the song will never be killed. This is why Sarai with Yod could not have, or in a way, Sarai as a song was barren with infinite possibilities. But there is an offering to change one of the letters, the Yod, into Hey, that she will have, in a way, a womb or a space and time in which a baby could appear. This is Isaac. So you can see that the root of Sarah and Isaac are similar. Not from here. So the perspective of Sarah and the perspective of Isaac is like the perspective of Weinreb. Before the two, before the bet, before the Bereshit, before space and time, before the eyes are recognizing object, subject. And this is our perspective too. This is non-duality, the perspective of laughter. Laugh at yourself as a story. Laugh at it. This is the story that you tell yourself as a narrator since you are 3, 5, 6, I don't know, whenever you remember yourself as body. Just laugh it about this story. Laugh about yourself. And you see, it's a joke. It's a joke. This is the perspective. Any questions? Yanis, Jill, Abigail. So I hope you enjoyed this session as I do, and I am very happy to be here with you whenever you have the time. And I would like to greet you with a very beautiful week and good weather and good conditions and laughter wherever you are. And we could meet here on Wednesday at the same time. Toda, shalom, and all the best.